I'm still glad. I'm glad to have you with me also. Father's Day. Now, I tend, those of you that know me well, know that I don't really preach theme verse, theme sermons very often as far as to go with Mother's Day. When you come on Christmas, you're going to hear about the birth of Jesus Christ. When you come on Easter, you're going to hear about the resurrection. Most of these other days, Thanksgiving, Father's Day, Mother's Day, I don't often follow the mold. Aren't you glad? But today, I have a little Father's Day something, all right? Ephesians chapter 4, a couple verses here, 4, 5, and 6, three verses actually. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, he says, I did not bring my glasses. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. That's good stuff. All right? I can preach on that verse. Actually, I could preach on all three of them. Father. One Father of all. God is telling us, in case you ever asked, who's your daddy? God says, I am. I am the Father of all. He's our Father. We have this saying around our house. And I've been saying this to Erin for years. And she actually had Erin Upchurch make a shirt for me. And it basically said this. That's what dads do. They fix things. They bring stuff to me. Curling irons. Hair dryers. Problems. Phones. You name it. They bring it to me. And my job is to fix it. All right? That's just what I do. In my house, I am the fixer. I fix things that are broke. I fix things that are not working properly. Sometimes they still don't work properly after I fix them, but at least they're fixed. Right? I doctor wounds. I work on cars. I take care of problems. That's what I do. There are some things, however, that I just cannot fix. I cannot fix heartbreak. I cannot fix disappointment. I cannot fix relationship problems. Although I've tried, and my girls are laughing. But I have a Father, a Heavenly Father, who is more than capable to fix those kinds of problems because He is over all and through all. And He's trustworthy. Now, I have a fantastic father. Y'all know my dad. Everybody here, most people call him Paw-Paw or Papa or some other stuff. I'm sure that's endearing and good things. Okay, I haven't heard anybody call you anything foul. He's a fantastic father. He's been more than a good father to his family. He's been more than good to his friends. He has sacrificed for us. I can think back. We would go on vacations every year. Dad didn't make, you know, he back then, when we would drive to West Virginia and Ohio and all that by way of Georgia, we stayed with family all the way because we couldn't really afford hotels. Okay, it was, we stopped at roadside parks and had sandwiches. Can you imagine that? But we went and we spam sandwiches. I went hungry when spam came around. We went on some fantastic trips. Been to Niagara Falls, the Grand Canyon, to Knott's Berry Farms, picked fresh strawberries and ate them right off the vine. We've been to some really great places and did lots of things. But it became at a sacrifice. Dad would save up. He would go to work sick so that he could have these days off to take us on vacation. He would come home from work after working hard all day at Firestone Tire and Rubber Company, he'd come home with his white shirt that was no longer white because it was covered with grease and oil. He would come home and bring parts with him, or we'd go out in the back and pull parts and come up, and he would be under the car till after dark working on it, because why pay somebody to do something he could do and he could save that money so we could go on vacation or whatever else needed. He sacrificed. He's just that kind of guy. He taught us. He taught us things. I worked on Rebecca's car yesterday. Why pay somebody? Because we couldn't pay them to do it. But where did I learn that kind of stuff? From my dad. He taught me. He disciplined us. I think me more than any of the others. My sister would tell you because I needed it more than any of the others. But that's an important part of being a dad, is to discipline his children. He encouraged us, did he not? He encouraged us, Audra. He lifted us up when we were down. He said, "You can do it." And he would push us and urge us and encourage us and tell us that we were better than what we are sometimes, because we needed that little boost of confidence. He's given aid to us still to this day. "Son, how can I help?" Well, there's not a lot you can help me with in this matter, but just knowing that he's there and willing to do whatever he can is important. Why did he do all these things? All because he loves us. He loves us. He hurts when we hurt. He rejoices when we rejoice. That's what dads do. Now, I know that not everyone is blessed with such a father. For those of you that cannot say those things that I just said about my father, God says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. "I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." For those of you that may not have that kind of role model father, God says, "I'll be that. I'll be that for you, because I love you." You see, God is a father. He is a father who has sacrificed for you. When I talked about my dad making sacrifices, God said, "I'll make the ultimate sacrifice. I'll make the sacrifice that no father on earth can make. But I can, because I'm God Almighty." He teaches us. He teaches us through His Word. He teaches us when we come and we gather and we listen to instruction and teaching. And He teaches us through the Spirit. He teaches us through one another. He teaches us. That's what dads do. He disciplines us, because sometimes we need godly discipline. Right? The Bible says He disciplines those He loves. And it's hard to see that sometime when we're in the middle of a discipline process, that is actually an act of love. But it's there because He loves us and He wants us to follow Him. He wants us to keep us on the straight and narrow. He wants us to be living a life for Him. And when we're not doing that, we can certainly expect discipline. If He didn't discipline us and He didn't want better for us, that would not be love. But God is all love. He encourages us. Does God not encourage us? Read the Scripture. There is encouragement there. God says, "I love you with an everlasting love. Even when you don't love me, I love you. And even before, when you were just a wretched sinner, I made the sacrifice for you, hoping that one day you would come to me and call me daddy. You didn't earn any of that." God said, "I love you first." He renders aid to us. I cannot tell you how many times blessings have just fallen upon the Nick's household out of seemingly nowhere, except with the hand of God. Here lately, the Lord has been blessing us with tomatoes and squash. Amen. Good thing we like tomatoes and squash. You know? I need to tell the Lord I also like chocolate-covered caramel, but, you know, that's another story. I do like coconut cream pie, yeah. He renders aid. He hurts when you hurt. He does. He hurts when you hurt. Because that's what dads do. And He rejoices with you when you rejoice. Because that's what dads do too. He initiates this love to us. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says this, "But God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Not that we earned it, but because He loves us. I want to read a passage here out of Romans chapter 8. I skipped over just a minute ago. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. It says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." God says, you can be my kids. "The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him, we cry, Abba, Father. Now the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs." Y'all know what being an heir is? That means that you are qualified to receive everything that the Father has. We are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. You've got a Father. You've got a Father. And He says that this word, Abba Father. It's a Greek term that basically translates daddy. Okay? He says this, "I'm not just your Father in heaven, but I love you. And I want you. I want you to want me." And that kind of relationship is a daddy relationship. Daddy, there may be people in this room that their father, okay, the man that conceived them, okay, it may be that you don't call that man daddy. Because daddy is a term of endearment. There's something more than just a paternal donation that created you in a mother's womb. There's something more than that. When you call somebody daddy, there's something more than just bloodline there. And that's what God says, "You can call me daddy because I love you. And I want more from you, for you. I want more with you. I want you. I love you so much." And there's a endearment there. There's a drawing to more than just a recognition of you are my creator. Abba means, and I want to spend time with you. And if you're working on the car, I want to be under the car with you. If you're going fishing, I want to go fishing with you too. Okay? If you're sick, I want to be there to wipe the sweat off your forehead. We were not worthy of love. We were wicked, selfish people, but He loved us so much that He sacrificed for us. He fixed that which we could not fix. Why? Because that's what dads do. They fix things. So men, if your dad was not the ideal model for you, you can change that for your children. You can step up. You can be the mighty man of God that He designed you to be. And it may be that there are some here today who may not have done quite as good a job as you would like to have done. And now your kids are all grown and you think you've missed that opportunity. I want to say two things about this. It's not too late. It's not too late to go apologize, start conversation, make amends, make things right. Life is too short Life is too short to have those that strife when there ought to be something more to that relationship. It may be received and it may not, but at least, at the very least, you can show some humility and make the effort. Okay? The other thing I feel like I need to say is this. Please understand, and this is for everybody in the room. Please understand that we are flawed and we make some mistakes. Now, I'm not making excuses and I'm not saying that you should lower your expectations of us as dads. I'm not saying that. You should have high expectations of us. However, I am saying that sometimes a little understanding, a little grace and mercy can salvage a relationship from turning south. And men, in case you weren't listening just a minute ago, we are not perfect. Although you may have taught your kids that you are, they know the truth. They really do. We mess up. We need to be able to admit when we mess up because there's so much more at stake than our pride. All throughout history, God has used relationships as His model for us. He is our Father. We are His children. He uses the marital relationship as a model. The bride of Christ is the church. I don't believe God cares so much about religion as He does about relationships. Relationships are important. Those relationships that He uses as models in the Bible are there because they're important to God. So the relationships you have with one another are important. They ought to move wherever they are on your priority list today, they ought to move up a little bit. They're important to God. They need to be important to us. Let us not let pride stand in the way of relationships, not with our family and friends, and not with God. I believe that it's a strong man who bends the knee to the Father. This is the type of man that our ladies need. It's the type of man that our children need. It's the type of man that they deserve. This is the kind of man the Lord blesses and honors. There is tons of stuff in Scripture. Honor your mother and your father. That is a command that never expires. I know some folks that say, well, when the Bible says I got to leave and cleave, I leave my parents, I cleave to my wife or to my husband, I'm no longer, no, folks. That's a command that never expires. Let's honor our mothers and fathers, whether they've done a good job or whether they've done a bad job or somewhere in the middle. Okay? Men, we have to answer. We will answer one day and be held accountable for how we've done that job that God has given us. It's a responsibility. Like it or not, it is what it is. So step up and let's be the man that God called you to be. Amen? I struggle and I'm trying every day. I want to be the man that God wants me to be. I want to be a godly man. I want to be a man that honors God. I want to be a man that makes my family proud of me. Every man should desire those things. Not so that we can say and have people praise us and say, you did a great job, but so they can say, wow, there's something extra about that guy. Where'd you get that from? And then I can say, it's not me. I'm following the role model of my Father in heaven. My Father in heaven. May He receive all the glory, all the praise, because He is the Father of all, in all, and through all. I love guys. I love to see big old burly manly men coming to Jesus and getting on their knees. There's something strong and powerful about that, folks. If you don't think it is, you just ask the women. When they see a man getting down on his knees or doing an act of something that brings honor and glory to God, does that not make you feel special and loved and something that there's something strong about that act? It's not an act of weakness. Anybody think that's an act of weakness has got some other deficiencies somewhere else they're trying to compensate for, trying to make themselves. No, no. A strong man gets on his knees. That's where he gains his strength from. That's my Father's Day message. And it's not just for fathers. That was a message for all of us. Okay? Admit when you mess up. I'm still struggling to learn that one. Okay? The Lord is teaching me, giving me many opportunities to learn that. Because I'm messing up quite a bit. Have patience with us when we mess up. Have a little grace with us. Don't lower your expectations of us. Please don't expect less of us. We need to be held to a high standard. The standard is not anybody else on this planet. The standard is Jesus Christ. The author and the finisher of our faith. And it is in Him and by Him and through Him that we have the ability to do anything. May He receive all the honor and all the glory and all the power. Father, we thank You today for this day. Lord, this is a good day. And I thank You for it, Lord. I pray that it's more than just a day of barbecues and a day of coming home from church and sitting on the couch. Lord, I pray that it's a day that we as men would commit to You and say, Lord, I've not done as good a job as I want to. I know I've not done as good a job as You want me to. Help me to do better. And that we would commit to that, Lord. I thank You for men. I thank You for godly men. Lord, You know this earth needs more godly men. Lord, may Dolan Baptist Church be a growing ground for godly men. May they understand that there is strength in being a godly man. That there is power in being a godly. There's no weakness there. Had some folks come to a house, to my house, several years back, showing me a picture of Jesus and says, now, doesn't this look like a weak person? And my response was, you don't know what weakness looks like. That looks like strength to me. Because He bore my sins. He bore my burden that I should be bearing. And that is strength. Father, may You find us strong. And where You find us weak, Father, strengthen us. May we desire to be strengthened in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not sure where you are today. Ben, I'm not sure where you are as far as...